Welcome to New Creation Fellowship's Proclamation Podcast. The vision of New Creation Fellowship is to live out heaven's cultural values through creative, redemptive innovation, so that people from all nations may experience the glorious reality of new creation in Christ. Next time you're in the Orlando area, we'd love for you to join us for our Sunday morning liturgy. Just visit our website at newcreationorl.org for more information on NCF. And now, may you receive the proclamation of the Word of God as it truly is the Word of God.
In 2014, there was a little unknown movie, Frozen, that was released, and it took the world by storm. The hit song, which is the most streamed Disney song from the modern era, somebody say, "Let It Go." It was annoyingly everywhere. You didn't even have to see the movie to know about Let It Go. Uh-huh. And then in 2019, they tried to do a better movie. Tried. And they tried to release a better song. Tried. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but they did not succeed. Although the song was catchy, it still slaps. She said it still slaps. It does, actually. It still slaps. It just don't slap as hard. But it was a song, if you've not heard it, it's called Into the Unknown. And it was the big ballad that actually was a little more emotional, complex than Let It Go. It spoke to something. Pastor Ike and the creative team, we all watched the making of Frozen 2. And we got to see the behind the scenes of all that they were doing. And it let me know that I am not called to do that. And one of the biggest things in that documentary was the frustration behind the music. It was almost like they couldn't get the songs. They were like, "I think this is it and I think it's not." But this song, Into the Unknown, found its way to be like the standout song. Let me give you a little context about the song. Homie Elsa, she heard a voice, and it was calling her somewhere. And she had a decision to make. Am I going to follow the voice that's calling me somewhere, or am I going to stay where I'm comfortable? As we look at Genesis 46, Our man Joseph, our man Jacob, rather, who was renamed Israel, has a decision to make. And the decision was, am I going to follow the voice of the Lord, or am I going to stay where it's comfortable? Yeah. This morning, before I preached, I had a decision to make. Would I obey the voice of the Lord? Or will I stay where it's comfortable? You in this room, listen to me, follower of Jesus, especially my fellas. Your life is more than providing for your family. Your life is more than watching your favorite games and series. Your life is more than eating way too much. Your life is more than planning and saving for that once a year vacation in which you have to vacation from the vacation. Jesus. Ladies, I ain't forgot you. Life is more than shopping. Some of them do. Life is more than decor. Life is more than the vanity things that we have made it to be. Some of us in this room are not moving toward the things of the Lord. Right. And it is time for us to venture into the unknown. God did not call us here to be obese consumers of great preaching. And now we have online, so we can be even more obese. Wow. your favorite church, preachers, worship teams. You're a voyeur because you're looking at their intimacy and you won't go into the unknown. I feel a burden in the Western church. I feel a burden for New Creation Fellowship. Because the vision that the Lord gave Pastor Ike is a go vision. So that all of creation can experience the glorious realities of new life in Christ Jesus. How will they hear unless we speak? Will you journey into the unknown? Israel would have been 130-ish. And one thing I learned from my grandmother, they don't like change. They want their family to come to their house.
Yes.
We ain't coming to your house. You come to my house. They want to see everybody. My grandma used to be, I just want to lay eyes on you. And we have Jacob who was in his home. He chilling. His family is with him. But then some news comes. And we see in the verses before that this son that he thought was dead, he's now been told this son is alive. He saw the wagons that were sent. And then the Bible said that his soul, his spirit was revived. Israel was like, all right, we are going to Egypt. We look at verse 1, though, and we see something very interesting. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices to the God of his father, Isaac. Wait up. It did not say that he went to Egypt. It said he went to Beersheba. Which means if we look at this in context, he had ample enough reason to just go to Egypt. My son is alive. I told you preach my message. My son is alive. I see the provision, but I got to make a pit stop. Because as much as I want to see my son, I need to make sure that the Lord is sending me to Egypt. Check it. This is even more abnormal because most people don't even make sacrifices if you've been following the text until after the Lord speaks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But Homer was like, no, before we go anywhere, I need to make sure that you are sending me. Can I ask us a question? Mm-hmm. How many moves have we made based off excitement? And we did not consult the Lord. How many good ideas? Because historically, his granddad had a good idea to go to Egypt. But it was not a God idea. His daddy was warned about Egypt. So he would have had ample things to be like, yo, before I move, let me check out the scene and what's going on. It said Israel took his journey. And he took all that he had and came to Beersheba, a place that was familiar. Might I say something that Peter Cazero say? At times we have to go back in order to go forward. He went back to a familiar place to make sure that it was the Lord that was calling him forward. Some of us in this room, the Lord is calling you forward. But somebody got to go back and consult the Lord to say, Lord, where are you actually sending me? I'm afraid in the Western church that our lives are even too busy to go back. We don't even have capacity to think about going back because we're so fast and we're so hurried and we're so on the move This last week, I had a waiter, y'all, and all, I wanted to just touch him and say, son, like, you ever had a waiter that's like, before you can answer him, he's already gone. So he will come back to the table. All right, anything I can do for y'all? And we're like, yeah, okay. I literally had to say, yo, I actually want a dessert. Oh, okay, what's the dessert? Before I can say, oh, I'm like, bro, come back. You know what? I don't even want it. He was so quick to the trigger that he didn't listen. And there's many of us who are so movie and antsy and busy and quick on the trigger that we don't listen. Our minds are so fast that we don't consult the Lord. And we've made moves and we've done things. And then when we face the consequences, we're blaming Yahweh when he said, I never told you that. Jacob had enough evidence to just go. But Jacob was like, despite my evidence, I need to make sure that I'm hearing from the voice of Yahweh. And here's what he also did. He took everything. I told you it's a word from the Lord for us, not a sermon. Are we willing? What are we holding back? Some of us even made the move here and still holding back. Are we going to journey all the way there? Because you won't even see the provision that the Lord have if you don't bring it all. That's like Jesus giving some of his life on the cross. He gave him full self. All. Somebody say all. I didn't expect for this to be shouted down because this is a word from the Lord. Some of us are withholding things. I was withholding things. Keeping things safe. But I don't know about y'all. I'm sick of safety. I want to live this actual life that the Lord has called for me to live. And guess what happens? That means you have to bring all. And the thing that is flying across your mind right now is the very thing that the Lord is talking about. Do y'all know some of the soul work we had to do to even plant this church? Because all three of us was like, I don't want to pastor nobody. We had to do work. We had to go to Beersheba. We had to make sacrifices because we could not give the Lord a half-hearted thing. What about you? When was the last time you sacrificed? When was the last time you went to Beersheba? Verse 2, and God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here I am. I love that Jacob, Jacob, because if you follow the text, that literally is showing a sign of intimacy, a sign of relationship and like a knowing. What should get us with that, though, is when you look at Jacob's complex life, how does he get a Jacob, Jacob? Pastor Rike, I preached a message called Hang In There. And he was just talking about the complexity of this life of this man. And it wasn't necessarily his goodness, but it was the faithfulness and the goodness of the Lord. Let me talk to my fellow friends that feel like we ain't did it right. You still can get a Jacob, Jacob, a Demetrius, Demetrius, Bradley, Bradley, Fabian, Fabian, Roosevelt, Roosevelt, not because of your works, but because of the love of the Lord. And so when you're sacrificing and you're before him, you won't sacrifice if you don't trust. You won't trust if you don't believe that you are loved. As we journey into the unknown, What these first four verses tells me about is Yahweh's presence. Here's what he said in verse 3. Then he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself, somebody say myself, will go down with you to Egypt and I will bring you up again. And Joseph's hand shall close your eyes. What these first four verses reminds us as we are venturing into the unknown is that we will have Yahweh's presence. Now, if his presence doesn't mean anything to you, that means nothing. But if his presence is everything to you, this means everything. We will see later, as a matter of fact, in the book that we're preaching next, we're going to see this again. Where he was like, if your presence don't go, I don't even want the promise. Do I have anybody who cares about the presence of God like that? Say, I don't even want what's good if you ain't going. The Lord told him, I am the God of your father. He was reminding him of his history, of his legacy. He said, don't be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation. That sounds familiar. His granddaddy heard that. And the Lord is like, I remember what I said and I will keep my promise. And if you look at the text, Jacob was so concerned about his latter years because he knew that he was getting ready to die. The Lord was like, I'm even going to take care of that because Joseph's hand shall close your eyes, which means that you're going to be surrounded by your family in death. Wow. I'm taking care of all of the things that concern you. Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Like I'm keeping the promise that I gave to your family. I'm going with you personally, and I'm going to make sure that the end of your life is taken care of. I feel this from the Lord. The Lord will take care of you, and he will leave nothing not taken care of. We got to like believe that in our souls, that the Lord won't leave you out here hanging like all these other busters have done. The Lord will not leave you lacking. Verse 5, it says, then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons. And Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan and into Egypt. Jacob and all the offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons and his daughters and all the offspring he brought with him into Egypt. What Jacob did after getting the confirmation from the Lord, he got up and he moved. Jesus. There are some of us in this room who aren't too fast. There are some of us in this room who are too slow. When you've gotten the confirmation from the Lord, now he's saying, get up and move. We either say amen or ouch.
Amen.
He got up and he moved. He got up and he moved. He got up and he moved. That's for somebody. Get up and move. There's people who are even debating on being in Orlando. Uh-oh. Get up and move. Yeah. It's the Lord, Melon. It's not me. I don't know your business. There are some people who the Lord said, no, you need to be a part of this gathering. Get up and move. There's even some of us creatively. The Lord is like, I've already told you this a million times. Get up and move. Somebody say, get up, and move. And I feel like a lot of us are in this place. Because it's actually easier when you're not hearing from the Lord. But what happens when you hear from him?
Come on, sir.
It's actually harder when you know he's told you to do something. I heard somebody say in a sermon, you're most aware of what you're leaving than what you're going to. This would have been into the unknown for him. He don't know what's going to happen in Egypt. But he got a word from the Lord and he went. He got up and he went. And what we see from verses 8 all the way down to verses literally 27 is we see this whole line of his family. Let me tell you what the Lord is showing us as we go into the unknown, that Yahweh will keep his promises. This is not just a roll call. This is not just a lineage. This is a family. When God said that he will make from Abraham a great nation, this is actually the genesis of the great nation. This isn't just random names. This is literally God keeping his promise. Yeah. This also shows us that it take a long time. Because this ain't but 70. Yeah. Lord, that ain't no great nation yet. Talk. But something the Lord showed me in this, to get to where we're going as a great nation, he had to start with one.
Yes, he did.
So these things that you're even hoping the Lord for, he got to start somewhere. Don't despise small beginnings. As we're venturing into the unknown, new creation started with a Bible study. And most folks didn't come into the unknown. Help, Lord. But the Lord started this church with a small group of people. And look at what the Lord has done. That's why Abraham was like, you talking about a great nation. I ain't got a son. Some of us feel that way. You talking about I'm a blessed many and I don't know, how am I going to do that? I don't have the resources. The Lord is like, this ain't about your resources. This is about my faithfulness and my promises.
Come on, sir.
And let me go ahead and be real. This lineage ain't pretty. You got rape. You got disobedience. You got deception. And that's from the matriarch of this thing. Think about this. Y'all got to let your brains journey as you're reading the Bible. We're getting ready to celebrate him being reunited with his son. When he was a brother, he was deceived and took birthright, took the blessing. So he identifies with Joseph not as the victim, but as the perpetrator. Yet he still hears Jacob, Jacob. I'm going with you. Somebody say complicated. Most time the lineage don't include women. But why did Dinah, Pastor Ike's message, why was she in there? You want to hide that, right? Somebody else's lineage has some. We'll talk about that later. This is like the Lord's promises and faithfulness to him. And you may be like me and your family is kind of riddled with sin and brokenness. But let me tell you something about this. Our God is faithful. And for those of us who are in Christ, we are not orphans, but we are adopted into the family of God that has a faithful Father that is present. He is present. I looked at this lineage and felt shame until I understood that I'm a son of the Most High God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Some of us carry a weird weight because our family don't look as pretty as we desire it to look. But the Lord is faithful. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And we're just not new creation alone, but all of us are new creation. It's another family. So even when ours are not pretty, but even though it's not pretty, the Lord has still been faithful. Jacob can look at this lineage. I sent him this text and I asked him a couple questions. I do that at times. And one of the things that he said when it came to this lineage, he said, I felt extreme joy because God cares about family. And I'm like, yeah, God cares about family. Wow. He loved the order and the like put togetherness of the lineage. I said, I do too.
Come on, sir.
Because my lineage don't look put together like that.
Jesus. And Jesus.
I mean, there are things we can do about that.
Okay.
I'm going to move on. So y'all, and my I actually have a therapy session tomorrow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But there's some of us in this room that actually have embarrassing things in our lineage. Are we going to keep it real? Incest, rape, molestation, perversion. That uncle that you got to keep people away from. I have an uncle who I've not seen out of jail most of my life, and I'm 40. I told y'all this is going to be the most vulnerable message I ever give, because these scriptures aren't just for us to look at them sterilely. It's supposed to be a mirror for us to see our own lives. Here at New Creation Fellowship, we ain't doing fake Christianity. If you got this thing where everything got to be together, this part of the wrong church. Because I can look around this room and I know the stories in this room. We ate up, but we loved.
Yeah.
Where my ate up, but love folks at? We don't have it all figured out. None of us are masters or experts in here. And I apologize if you ever thought that I said that, because I did not. That's why we share the ugliness of our stories. Not for anyone to get the glory, but the Lord Jesus, because he kept us.
Yeah.
And like they said in my church, he kept me when I didn't even want to be kept. Some of these folks in this lineage were doing all kind of things because they just wanted to. And the Lord was like, I'm still going to be faithful to my promise, because I said that out of you will be a great nation.
Jesus.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, so
thank
much, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Yahweh keeps his promise. He keeps his promise. And when you think about even them going to Egypt, why Egypt? Because it would be the place that God would use to multiply them. We're going to see hundreds of years later, it's going to be like 600,000 plus million. It's going to be, and then in eternity, it's going to be multitude out of multitude. The Lord is faithful to keep his promise. And we're engrafted in his promise. He is faithful when we are faithless. As we are journeying into the unknown, remember Yahweh's presence and remember Yahweh's promises. Jacob didn't deserve to see this put together lineage.
Jesus. Jesus.
But is anybody glad that it's not based on your faithfulness, but his? Woo, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jacob would have got pleasure to see that his family was kept together, that they were protected, and that they were provided for. What a faithful God that we serve. In this last section of the text, we've seen Yahweh's presence. We've seen Yahweh's promises. Now we're about to see Yahweh's provision. Somebody say provision.
Provision.
Verse 28, it says, he sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before him in Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. Let me tell you why Goshen is important, because Goshen is the fertile land, fertile ground. The Lord didn't just send him anywhere. He sent him somewhere that he would be provided for. And let me even tell you what's beautiful about this. He sent Judah ahead of him to Joseph to show the way before them. It's beautiful that it's Judah, because not only was Judah the most repentant one of the brothers, But he also is the messianic line. And so as God is leading you to provision, he'll give you an escort. Uh-oh. We'll come back to that later. It was fitting that it was Judah. The most repentant of all the brothers. The one that really understood the sin of what they did to Joseph. My question to us, even in that, is, are there areas in your life that you have yet to see the truth of the sin as God leads us into the unknown? Even in the provision, in the presence, all of that of the Lord, we are still called to see sin for what it actually is. Judah went ahead of them to Joseph to show the way before him. And they came to the place of Goshen. Then Joseph prepared his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his father, in Goshen. He presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept a good while. I love Joseph because he's going to cry. Because what that shows us is his feelings weren't divorced from what he was going through. That he had an emotional awareness that this is a big deal, that I'm seeing my father. He presented himself to him and he wept on his neck a good while. Can y'all see that scene? And if I'm honest, I look forward to that scene. There are many of us in this room. That's like good for Joseph, but when am I going to get my reunion? That's what's uncomfortable about the nuance of this text. But here's what's also beautiful, is if I don't get a reunion earthly, that there's going to come a day where I'm going to be reunited with the faithful Father. And I'm sure going to be weeping and kissing that neck. And I already told the Lord I'm going to need angels and assistance because I'm going to act up. I can't stay in the presence right now. Y'all think I'll be up here singing and acting a fool? Y'all wait till we get to new heaven and new earth. I'm acting like a good black person at a funeral. I'm going to be falling out. Angels got to pick me up, falling back out, pick me up, falling out, pick me back up. You mean to tell me I'm seeing the one that I've been worshiping and suffering for? And I'm going to sit there and act like I'm sterile. I'm acting up. Lord, kissing the neck, falling at his feet. I'm not moving. I know he loves y'all, but he loves me. And I can't wait to see him. So even if I don't get an earthly reconciliation to that degree, I know that in the new heaven and new earth that I will see my father and never have to move. I won't have to move. Israel said to Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen your face and know that you are still alive. Y'all, this would have been years of this man thinking that his son was dead. Years. Could you imagine, like, years of thinking someone was dead and then they are alive and you are not just thinking about it, you are seeing them face to face. There were years of us waiting on the Messiah. And then a dude named Simeon saw him and was like, I can die now. It is something about when you see that which you have been longing for. Israel was like, I'm good. Let me die. But the beautiful thing about the Lord is that we're going to see his goodness in the land of the living. The Lord's like, nah, you ain't going to die yet because you got some life to live. Literally, the next scripture says, Joseph said to his brothers and his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and will say to him, my brothers and my father's household who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for they have been keepers of livestock, and they have brought their flocks and their herds and all they have. When Pharaoh calls you and says, What is your occupation? You shall say, your servants have been keepers of livestock from our youth, even until now, both we and our fathers, in order that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. Not only did they have an escort, but Joseph became an advocate and a representative. He said, I'm going to go to Pharaoh and work this out. Even though Pharaoh know they coming, he was like, no, I got to make sure that it's good. For those who are hosts, somebody can say they cleaned up the bathroom, but you got to go in there and make sure that it's good. Because I guarantee you, you ain't get that part of the toilet. Joseph is like, I know this is set up, but I'm going to go before you and make sure that it's good. Here's what I need you to do. Say this. Do this so that we can ensure the provision that the Lord has already set up for you. Because there's a prepared place. Goshen. This last verse. It says, for every shepherd is an abomination to Egyptians. Jesus, the great shepherd and the overseer of our souls, entered into the unknown, to a world that would despise and reject him. At the announcement of his birth, he and his family had to flee to Egypt after his father Joseph was warned in a dream. They fled not to be provided for like Jacob and them, but because Herod was trying to kill him. And that would be the mantra of the life of Jesus, our suffering servant king. He would face it head on, and he would endure it all because he was the fulfillment of how there would even be a great nation. It was through him. It was through him. Jesus gave his life on the cross, bringing with him not just 70 people and their sinfulness, but he took on the sins of the whole world. Somebody say whole world. He was buried, and on the third day he rose from the dead, and he today, right now, is alive. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Our divine and perfect escort. Our representative and our advocate is at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for us constantly on our behalf from a place of victory and honor.
Hallelujah.
And he is right now preparing a place for us that Goshen couldn't even compare to.
Yeah.
A home that we will never have to move from again.
Hallelujah.
Can we see him? New heaven, new earth. We don't talk about that a lot in church anymore. It's an actual prepared place where you and I, those who are in Christ, will have bodies that we won't even understand because we don't even know life outside of this sinful, jacked up thing. But there will come a day where we will have bodies that won't even know sin anymore. We're living in this complex in between where theologians say it's the already and then the not yet. And in the middle of that, what do? We enter into the unknown and we trust the Lord. We trust his presence. We trust his promises. We trust his provision. For he who promises is faithful. I'm not talking about the one who disappointed you. I'm talking about the one that did not spare his own son. He is faithful and he keeps his promises. My challenge to us is that we see our Messiah who went into the unknown so that he can empower you to go into the unknown. Because your unknown is not even half bad as his unknown. The things that he's calling you to, it ain't death on the cross. The relationships that he's calling you into,
Jesus.
It's not death on the cross.
Jesus. Wow.
Forgive us, Lord. I want to pray over us. If you can stretch your hand out. I feel like the Lord is challenging us to go into the unknown. Some of us have been camping out in a comfortable version of Christianity. But the Lord is calling us into the unknown.